I thought you were, but I can't.
For me,
I won't say it across the board.
And I think we need to get back to the stage.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another exciting night of Grown and Sexy Talk on Amongst Friends. Tonight we are talking about effective communication in the bedroom, and we are going to discover ways that we all can learn how to better communicate about what we want to happen in our bedroom life, what we want to happen, you know, how we want to communicate what is going on with us in our bedrooms. And a lot of times being able to discuss this is often hard. So tonight we're hoping that we can get you guys to communicate effectively. I'm your host, one of the hosts for tonight, Joseph Snyder, but with us is also Patricia Reynolds.
Hello, hello.
As always, we have our awesome tech man and hardworking Jeff on the line with us.
What's up, everybody?
And hopefully, later on, we will definitely have Miss Deidre Robinson.
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Deidre.
Hey, Joe.
They told me you was cooking dinner.
Yeah.
And is Heather and PJ going to be joining us tonight?
No.
No. Okay. Well, we still going to give y'all a great show, and we hope you guys are ready to talk about effective communication in the bedroom. So just starting off, what are some of the things or what are some of the problems you guys my co-host, what are some of the things that you guys have faced, like when or have heard from other people about effective communication concerning what happens in the bedroom or concerning sex? What are some of the things you've heard or have faced or some of the issues you think should be addressed?
Well, you know what, Joey? Just recently, you know, I'm single. I'm not married. But I have a lot of friends that are married, and I do, what sticks out of my head is I was talking to a friend the other day, and he's been married for like 6 years, and he told me that him and his wife have not had sex in 3 months. And be it for whatever reason that is, it bothered me so much to the core because honestly, you know, how did it get there? You know, and to be so young, you know, this couple is a young couple, and to be so young and to, after 6 years, be there already to where you would think somebody after 28 years would be, it bothered me a lot. So I've heard, I hear a lot of that. I hear a lot of women that use sex to, I don't know, maybe to, I want to say get what you want, but I'm not trying to, you know, put that on every woman across the board because every woman has their reason why they don't want to make love to their man, you know. It could be infidelity. It could be a grudge that they're holding, something that they can't forgive of him, but lack of sex in marriage is what scares me the most because I honestly, you know, want to hear from a lot of people of how they are dealing with that. You might say that you never want to, you know, I'm never going to get there or I'm never, you know, but you just never know what will come. But I'm a strong believer that you can ward off that completely now. We just need to have as many tools as possible. So those are the experiences that really grip me that I want us to tackle tonight.
Okay. Any, Deidre, any thoughts?
It's just people being kind of open and honest about what it is that they're expecting in the bedroom. Like,
okay.
You know, I've heard, you know, there are women who go into a sexual experience and they get there and they just lay there. They're like, you know, well, sort of like, what is it, Seeley on The Couple Purple, he climb up on top of me and do his business.
Right.
Talking about what it is that makes a woman feel like he's climbing up on top of her to do his business. Why aren't you enjoying the moment just as much as he is? Or putting
right.
some work into it, you know. Not just laying there, but giving it back to him, you know. If he's throwing it, you throw it right back. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's definitely some really good points you both brought up, and I'm hoping that we do get to talk about some of the issues that are faced in, you know, the bedroom or in having effective communication concerning sex. So tonight, people, we want to hear from you. Any question, comments, or concerns, please, if you're listening, you already called in, but the number is 760-683-2662. Again, that's 760-683-2662. And we want to hear from you. And you can call in and give your tips or ask your questions about effective communication in the bedroom. And tonight, we definitely want you guys to walk away from this show tonight knowing the best way for you and your partner to get from just having sex to having good sex, to having great sex, and beyond. And the way to do this, and what we hope that you walk away from, is by using this very powerful tool, which we started talking about last week, and that's communication. And one of the things that I've identified in this whole effective sexual communication are these four principles, and that's being open-minded, having fun, being non-judgmental, and that having effective sexual communication should also be educational. So my fellow co-host, and just listening to those, you know, hearing those four principles, open-mindedness, having fun, non-judgmental, and also learning something about your partner, those are four important principles that I've identified in building effective sexual communication, because these are the things that often hinder people from actually talking about sex or talking about what they like. Or like Deidre, you pointed out that, you know, somebody is just like, I'm really like Seeley, and I'm just letting you climb on top of me and do your business. Whereas, you know, where if you are communicating effectively, you can actually move from that whole feeling like somebody's toilet, so to speak, to being able to explore your body and explore theirs, and you both enjoying it. So do you guys agree with those four principles? What are your thoughts on being open-minded or having fun or while talking about sex or having effective communication in the bedroom, being non-judgmental, and also the educational piece or learning something? What do you guys feel? How do you feel about those four principles?
I think the principles are excellent, especially the open-minded one. The non-judgmental one is extremely – that was one of the principles, right?
Yeah.
Did you say
that
non-judgmental?
Again?
Did you say non-judgmental? Okay, that's my favorite. That's my favorite because it's actually easier to communicate with someone when you're not judging them and when you're not holding them to a certain, some kind of level of, human behavior or whatever that you don't think is, you know, oh my gosh, how can you, you know, that thing. Of course, you have to learn all those things beforehand and to know if you can deal with it or not. But by the time you're in the relationship, you should pretty much know how far they'll go or their interest in sexual behavior. But that one is my favorite, the non-judgmental one, and because that is actually what's going to lead you to be open-minded with what your mate has to say. So, I completely love and agree with those principles.
Okay. Deidre, Jeff, what are your thoughts on the four principles identified?
I believe they're on point.
Do you find that it is absent in a lot of the communication between couples, or in your, you know, in your personal experience or the personal experience from friends, like that you find that people aren't as open-minded about sexual communication, or they are judgmental, no one's willing to learn?
No, I think when I was younger, back when I was in Texas, you know, I wasn't as open-minded as I am now. But the people that I hang around and associate with, you know, they're pretty free in their sexual liberation, you know. They're open to way more stuff than I'm willing to consider. So, I mean, it's not a problem. It's just that certain people, you know, they expect one thing when it comes to sex, and that's it. And then
right.
There are others who are, like, wanting everything.
Okay. And I think that one of the things that's important, especially with the whole being open-minded, and I have a perfect example. There was a couple who asked me how can, you know, my husband isn't into toys, and he, like, is really repulsed by the idea of having toys in the bedroom. And so, you know, we were talking about why, you know, kind of asking why was that, why was he repulsed by the idea. And, you know, he's like, just because that's not how it's supposed to be, don't no man want no, you know, toy to be pleasing his woman. And so then I kind of asked her, how are you presenting it? Like, are you, you know, because his issue was more so the being open-minded, and hers was just the far extreme, is like, I'm down for whatever. But I said, how are you presenting it? And she's like, oh, I just whip out the dildo in the middle of sex. And I'm like, okay, that would scare most people, you know, especially if that's not something that you guys have talked about. And so the whole thing was to help him be more open-minded about it was to think of, you know, for her to talk about how toys can be, you know, can add flavor to their relationship. And then for her was to present it better, like not just pulling it, you know, just pulling out this dildo and him not knowing, well, who are you going to use that on, kind of thing. So that's one of the ways that you can definitely kind of promote open-mindedness and being non-judgmental, is to actually, you know, not kind of, it's how you present things. And that's mostly one of the biggest issues we have in relationships, especially when it comes to sex, is that we don't present things effectively, or we don't present them in a way that people can receive it in a positive light. So it's kind of one of those things where, again, the whole judgment piece comes in, and it's, everybody already has it. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And then, you know, people want to introduce new things, but they just spring it on, you know, on their spouse, and not really knowing what they're actually comfortable with. And the way to do that is to actually just sit down and have a conversation. And people just don't find it easy to talk about sex. And I don't understand. My thing is, I don't understand why, especially if that's something that people like to do, why wouldn't you enjoy talking about it? Why is it hard to discuss whether or not you like toys, or, you know, whether or not you like, you know, you don't like the missionary position or what have you? Like, why are those things difficult? And so, like I said, these four principles will be very, very helpful to, you know, moving from just regular sex to good sex to great sex. And that's being open-minded, having fun when you present this topic, you know, when you're talking about sex. Have fun. Enjoy it. It doesn't have to be tedious. Have fun and being non-judgmental and being excited about learning about sex or what pleases your partner. And so that's what I want to kind of move into our next point, and that's how to discuss fantasies, desires, and any reservations in the bedroom. What do you, you know, guys, what do you guys think about fantasies?
I think they're great. I think they're, the fantasy itself, I think that it's, I think that it's a creative way to keep, you know, to keep excitement going. The thing about, and the reason why I'm hesitating right there is because there's a lot of people that don't have fantasies, so I don't want to put it out there to where if you don't have one, you ain't going to have exciting, you know, because that's not true at all. But the question was, what do I think of fantasies? I think, you know, that they're great. I've heard some great ones, and I've heard some ones that are a little odd, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're odd to me. What's odd to me may not be odd to you. And again, that comes from not judging, you know, what, you know, that fantasy is. And of course, there are some fantasies that are kind of, you know, unhuman. You know, those, you know, you don't. Of course, we know the difference between those. But again, I think that fantasies are exciting. I think they're they bring a different angle, a new angle, a different angle to the relationship, and I believe that they hold a lot of spice as well. In order to tell somebody about that fantasy, you have to be extremely liberal about your sexuality, as well as comfortable with them, you know. That helps a lot. That helps tremendously. But I think that fantasies can hold to be very healthy in the sexual relationship. And, of course, depending on what you can handle is the bottom line. A lot of things that you know, your mate may like or want, you might not be able to handle that. And, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it if you voice that opinion. And if you say it, look, that's a little too far. That's a little too freak. I can't go there, you know. I think that as long as you voice your opinion, you know, then it's clear. You know, everybody is not for everybody. So there's nothing wrong with you saying, you know, that's too far or I don't want to go that far or whatever. But it is something wrong when you don't say anything at all. You know, and you wait until you in this marriage and he want to do what he's been talking to you about, and now you want to say no. I think that's completely wrong, and it's grounds for divorce.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. Going from that is a lot. Well, I mean, the thing about it is, and like you said, you know, I do believe that everyone has fantasies. But I think because of society's view on sexuality and people's religious moral standings, it kind of hinders people's ability to kind of talk about healthy fantasies. Because like you said, Patrice, there are healthy fantasies and then there are unhealthy fantasies. or things that you just know, okay, it's probably something I should keep to myself, or it may be something that I might need to go get help with. Those are the fantasies that, you know, you may need to reconsider probably sharing with. But those healthy fantasies that you are comfortable sharing with your spouse, and that doesn't mean sharing them doesn't mean that you have to do them or you want to do them, but you're actually just sharing openly with your spouse about your fantasies. And, you know, like Therese, like you said, if the person is, like, you know, if they're honest about, okay, this is what I'm willing to try, or, oh, I didn't know you felt that way, like that whole honest piece, and you're not, like, scrunching up your face or saying you're disgusting or that's of the devil or blah, 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 you know, then your partner will be more, not only are you learning more about your partner, but they're also more willing to, you also open yourself up to having a more intimate sexual encounter, because now I trust you, or now I can share what's going on in my head, and I can trust you, you know, better as a partner. Yes, Deidre. We'll say that. But yeah, that and sometimes effective communication is just putting in some serious soaking up the sheet, sweaty, squirting good old time. Yes, if that, you know, but just getting into being able to openly discuss, like, what you fantasize about, what your desires are, what are your reservations? Do you guys have any reservations? Like, for example, a big reservation for me is actually bringing somebody else into the bedroom. Like, that's a huge reservation for me. I'm not against talking about it, but I'm very much not for bringing somebody in. But
well,
if I would let
of, her, well, what's the point of talking about it if you're not open to it? I mean,
well,
because if you're saying I'm not closing the door on the discussion.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not doing it. Then what's the point of it? What's the conversation for?
Because there's a difference between someone just being able to openly explore with their partner, with their spouse, husband, wife,
okay, so
boyfriend, girl.
So you're saying that there is something that she could potentially say that would change your mind about adding someone to your bedroom?
No, that wouldn't change my mind. But what will happen is that I don't just shut them off communication-wise. Like, so they are comfortable enough to share with me that they want to, you know, like, this is a fantasy of theirs, or this is something I thought about, you know, or something that I feel that's not, it's not saying, you know, they very well may not say, I want to have this, or I want this to happen, but this is a fantasy for me. You want to make the...
I get that, but if you're totally against it, and you're saying, you know, I want to be open to, you know, communicating with you and sharing and what have you, but you know that you're never going to do it. And I come to you and I'm like, well, my fantasy, I'm telling you, I want somebody else in the bed with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're, why would I tell you that? Because what if something happens on down the line or whatever, or say I was laughing and giggling with somebody or something, now that's in your brain. I done shared with you that I want somebody else to come in with us, and then, I don't know, dude was sexy and fine. You like, oh, so you want to have a threesome with him? You know what I'm saying? What's the purpose of telling you? If you're not open to it, if you're not saying, well, I may not be ready to do it right now, but sometime down the line we might consider it.
The purpose, again, is to open the doors of communication. It's not opening the doors to actually fulfill the fantasy. That's both can agree to do, but we want to open the doors of communication. And so with that, and what I mean by that is that I'm able to trust you enough to tell you my fantasies, and it won't be held against me. You won't look at me like, oh, you're a disgusting person for feeling that way. And it won't be that whole holding it against me type of thing. Because you think, okay, now every person that we see, yes, that's the person I want to bring into the bedroom with us. Because then that's not effective communication. The point of being able to share your fantasies is so that you can also open up about what we currently do, what you currently like when we have sex, what you don't care for in the bedroom, like being able to openly talk about those things and exchange ideas without the whole being closed-minded without and being judgmental. Because then if I can't share with you my inner thoughts, then I'm not going to really open up to you about what I like or don't like, in a sense.
So, Deidre, basically what he's saying is that it is a relationship nicety. That's all it is. Baby, you can openly come to me and you can openly tell me all of your, all of your fantasies and stuff, but I'm going to shut it down because I just don't want to do it. And then that's going to fall off the table now because she felt open enough and trusted in me enough to give me that. So, but Joe said he has a reservation about it, so he's going to shut it down, and it's going to go off the table of conversation about their sex life, and they're not going to talk about it anymore. He's going to know that she has this thing for a threesome. He knows that he's not going to fulfill it. She knows that he's not going to fulfill it. But they're going to go on being happy because they talked about it. It's a relationship.
Exactly. And the thing about it is,
Okay. I don't know who these cookie-cutter people are, but if I have a fantasy for a threesome,
mm-hmm.
and you like, hey, we're open and we can all share and we're all great and wonderful and I can come to you and tell you what's going on, but I want a threesome. I want
right.
to get it in. And you like,
right.
I'm going to shut it down. That's not going to go away. It's not going to be especially if I'm talking to you and I'm telling you, or let's just say before I married you, I had already had double penetration. And
okay.
what you giving me just ain't enough. And so
okay.
now I know you ain't going to ever give me no threesome, so you ain't going to ever be able to give me that high that I had when I got double penetration or what have you. So I'm always going to be thinking about that. So as much as you're talking about this, oh, it's so wonderful, we can be open and all this kind of stuff, you still can't give me what I want. What's the point of telling you your fantasy?
But see, that's what I'm saying. Everything, when you get into the whole effective communication thing, then, a situation like that, now we can talk about, okay, I may not be open to a threesome in this way, but maybe we can look at, maybe if you want to be, you want double penetration, let's look at some toys. Let's look at, you can actually move the discussion on, especially if this is something that you really want. We can look at other ways to maybe fulfill that fantasy for you. But remember, like I said in the beginning of this point, is that every fantasy that a person has doesn't mean that they want to fulfill them. It just may be a fantasy. It may just be a thought. It may not be something that they want to fulfill. But you want the point of effectively communicating in the bedroom, especially about sex, is that you want to remove that wall that a lot of people, not everyone, but that a lot of people have, that they're unable to talk to their spouse about what they like sexually, and you get like you get your Seeleys who had no idea what her clitoris was for, had no idea that she could enjoy having her nipples played with, you know, and she just let a man basically treat her like a toilet or like a climbing post until another person who was sexually, another woman who was sexually liberated came and talked to her about, you know, about these things and allowed her to openly explore her desires or her feelings about sex. And she was able to, well, in the book, they never showed it in the movie, but in the book, she was able to have pleasurable sex with Mister, because she knew, you know, she had these conversations with somebody that made her feel comfortable about talking about sex. So that's what we're trying to establish, is how to build effective communication. Because, yeah, you're right. Everyone is not going to be that, oh, we talked about it, and now I'm good. No, everybody's not going to be that. But now I can talk about it, but I really, really want this. Now we can have the conversation in a healthy way about how to fulfill this fantasy or how to help you become more comfortable with removing your reservations or other alternatives to getting double penetration without either one of us giving up something, but we're both gaining in a way.
You know what? I kind of understand what Deidre is saying. When you have a desire or a fantasy that your mate is not trying to fulfill, he voices his opinion to you and is like, you know what, I don't want to do that because blah, blah, blah. And what I'm feeling that you're saying is that you still have that desire. So what are you going to do with that desire? Ultimately, when a desire is not fulfilled, it comes, you know, some of us become unhappy with what goes on. If, you know, if your wife says to you, hey, hon, I want to try a threesome. And you say to her, well, no, I'm not down with that, because after you allow me to bring a woman in the bedroom, pretty soon you might want a man in the bedroom, and I'm not standing for that. So we ain't doing either one. You know what I'm saying? So I think what she's saying is that desire is still going to be there. So what do you do with the desire that is now being denied, that you want to fulfill, you know, that particular fantasy or that sexual desire in the bedroom? I completely understand that two people shouldn't do something that they both don't agree on. So let's help the people try to figure out how to handle something like that.
And
whether the desire
and that's
just
what,
won't go away.
And that, but that's what I was saying to her, that the alternative is, instead of just shutting it down, it's finding alternatives, having the conversation. The point is to effectively communicate. And so me just, especially if you telling me this is a desire, it's no longer a fantasy, this is a desire, this is what I want, this is what's going to make me happy, then the other person who you're communicating this to, if they want to communicate effectively, then they're going to say, okay, if I'm not comfortable with this, and of course if you care about somebody, you love somebody, you're not going to make them do something they're uncomfortable with. But you can find alternatives, and you can discuss it. Will this work for you? Will this, will that? If I do this, or if we do it this way. Like, so it's opening the door. The point is to open the door to effective communication through being able to discuss these things and not feel, you know, ashamed or not feel like you're an immoral person because you're talking about your fantasies and your desires or your needs or your wants to your partner. And and sometimes we have to realize, again, like I put in the chat, every fantasy that we have isn't something that we want fulfilled. But
I will also say this, too, that a lot of people have fantasies about people, about doing stuff in different places that they normally don't get to have in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the outside stuff. You may love your relationship, whether you're married or you got a steady boyfriend, steady girlfriend. You may love your relationship and love what you have going on, but like Patricia was saying, you might have other desires out there, but you don't want to stray because you got a good thing. You could still have a fantasy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those
definitely.
You might share those with your partner, but you might not. You might not tell your partner, "Yeah, babe, I had this fantasy and we was there, we was here, and we was doing this, and it was great." But really, in the fantasy, it was with an Asian woman.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Or really, or your woman might come and say, you know, babe, I had this dream at our favorite restaurant, and you know, you went under the table, and it was all good. But what she might not tell you is, in the fantasy, it was maybe like Eddie Murphy or Johnny Gill or something. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right, right. Unless the couple have that open, that type of relationship where they can talk openly about their dreams and their, you know, fantasies, and it'll be okay. Some people do that. Some people are open, that open about their sexuality, where they wouldn't take offense or they wouldn't be angry because their spouse had a dream, which you don't really have control over your dreams anyway. But your spouse had a dream about another man and they or another woman, and they came and talked to you about it. Some people are open. And just like you said, other people who know they don't have that open type of relationship will just talk about what actually happened in the dream and won't describe who it was or what they did unless they actually had it about their spouse. So it depends on the people. It definitely depends on the people. It's not cookie cutter. We don't go from a cookie cutter perspective, but we go from a perspective that is able to help people kind of take some principles and spin it in a way that works for them. But at the same time, these principles kind of remain, like they still remain, the principles are the same, but the way you execute the principles can be different depending on the people who are executing them, if that makes sense.
Did Jeff just say that sometimes we have fantasies that we actually don't want to carry out? Is that what you said?
No, it was basically no. You have fantasies about people other than your mate in your relationship.
Oh, I see.
And that happens. That happens. And, you know, you don't really, I mean, for the most part, you don't have control over what you dream about or what, you know, kind of pops up in your head unless you are fixated or, like, you actually just spend time thinking about those things. But the whole point about the fantasies and the desires, if you feel like your fantasy has now traveled into the world of desire, then that is a conversation. Here again, that may be a conversation that you have with your spouse or with your partner or whoever, you know, whatever the situation is. You have that conversation with them, and if you see that they're uncomfortable or if they're unable to do it, then you guys kind of have to have the conversation about how, alternatives or what ways, what can we do to make you more comfortable. And you can, that's kind of the point. It's not about just going out here, unless that's the relationship that you have, listeners. If that's the relationship that you have with your person, then go for it. If that works for you, then go for it. But if you're in the relationship and you guys are talking and you come up to a fantasy that you want to desire, if you're the one sending the message, you don't want to send it in an ultimatum. If you don't do this, I'm leaving. If you don't do this, I'm getting the divorce. Especially when it comes to this, you effectively communicating in your bedroom. You want to avoid ultimatums altogether in all forms of all parts of your relationship. But you don't want to coerce someone to do something because that's not effective communication. And if you're the receiver, you don't want to just shut someone's desire down. But you want to make sure that you both are winning, And honestly, if this is something that you cannot do, that you be honest with the person and let them know. Don't just do it just to do it or try to force it because you don't want to lose them. Just be honest about what you're feeling. And again, think of alternatives. There are alternatives. There are ways to work around reservations. There are ways to help people lower their inhibitions or do things where they don't feel like they were coerced or forced to do something they didn't want to do, because then you get a bunch of resentment or anger, and we no longer have an effective, you know, effective communication situation. So again, callers, if you want to call in, the number is 760-683-2662. Before we move on to the next point, call us and tell us what you think about fantasies and desires and effectively communicating those things, if you should, if you shouldn't. And, you know, let us know what you guys think. That is one of the hardest realms of effectively communicating in the bedroom, though, is do I share my fantasies? Do I share my desires? But I will say this. Besides fantasies and desires, you definitely want to talk about your wants and needs in the bedroom, though. You want to talk about what, and co-host Deidre, Jeff, Patrice, would you guys agree or just kind of give your perspective on whether or not people should talk about their wants and needs in the bedroom? Is that important?
Yeah, but before I answer that, I wanted to go back. You asked the question that we didn't answer. You said, what is your so-called deal breaker for the bedroom? As far as fantasies are concerned, and you wouldn't allow, you know, your wife to bring another woman in the bedroom. I would definitely have to say mine would be animals. Anything involving an animal, that's a deal breaker for sure. For sure. I know that happens, and I don't know if it happens in the north, but you know, probably some backwoods that probably might, you know, take place. But that's I wanted to answer that. But anyway, yeah, it is extremely important that you share your fantasies. But in reality, sometimes it's hard. It might be hard to share a certain fantasy that you may feel that they will frown upon. And again, that comes with the non-judgmental thing. And sometimes it takes a little time, but I think it's extremely important that if this fantasy is really strong, I really think that you should share it before it becomes a permanent relationship, because you don't want to get into it and all of a sudden say, hey, this is a desire that I want. And if they say no, you can't live with that, then that's a problem. So I think that it's extremely important that it should be communicated before it becomes permanent, even if it's a little embarrassing to you. You have to get it out. You have to get it out, put it out there, even if it's a scenario. Hey, my girlfriend said blah, blah, you know, and just to get their opinion on it. That's a good way of getting their opinion on it. That way you'll know how they'll feel about it, you know. But a lot of times, again, and I want you to touch on, Joey, what would you say to people that were embarrassed, you know, at some of their fantasies and scared of what their mate might say? How do you close your eyes and hold your breath and jump on into that one without, you know, potentially, you know, losing them because the other person might think you're a little whack?
A good way to overcome embarrassment or fear, shame, is to first become comfortable within yourself and being able to kind of say it out loud to yourself. And I know that sounds strange, but again, a lot of the things that, especially becoming an effective communicator, is you have to be, like we said last week, you have to be able to communicate with yourself. You have to be comfortable with open and honest communication within yourself before you can effectively do that with someone else. And so you have to be able to, one, be able to talk about your fantasies out loud to yourself. And I don't mean like crazy walking down the street saying, oh man, I want to be doubly penetrated, you know, or oh man, you know, nothing like that. But actually being able to say, I'm not ashamed that I have this fantasy, or I'm not afraid to have this, and it won't, you know, it won't affect me if I tell somebody. Yeah, it's hard to be open. It's not just about your sexual fantasies about your deepest feelings or your deep, dark secret. Like, it is hard to, in a sense, expose yourself or to be vulnerable. But if you want to be an effective communicator, those things, and you want to build intimacy and trust in your relationship and in your sexual relationship in your bedroom, you have to be able to first be comfortable in yourself to share those things. And then secondly, you have to trust your partner enough. And you do that by, like, Treece, like you say, sometimes we, you know, share scenarios and we get an idea. You got to have conversation, basically, have conversation with the person. And you get to see their moral aptitude or moral, fortitude, so to speak, like what they're able to handle, what they find. You know, you learn their values, their thoughts, their feelings on different things by talking about the different subjects. So you talk about bestiality, or you talk about oral sex with your partner. You discuss the political climate, or you discuss threesomes and twosomes and fivesomes and orgies and all those different things. You discuss mutual masturbation or voyeurism, pornography. Like, you have those conversations to actually see where their head is. And once you learn that and you're comfortable in yourself, then, and you trust them, then you share it with them. And if you feel like you're not at the point to do that, Treece, like you said, you have to make the decision to say, can I live without this being fulfilled? Am I happy with the other things that have been fulfilled? Do I just want to talk about it, or is this something that I want? And if I can't get it from my spouse, is it, you know, is it worth ending the relationship to get this desire, you know, to get it fulfilled? Or can I find alternatives and come up with alternatives with my partner?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Deidre, you see, you got to share this on the radio, Deidre. You can't just type that and not share it. What's your deal breaker, Deidre?
Well, one, I agree with Patrice. Yeah, we're not going to do no animals. That's just, we're just not going to do that. Yeah, no sheep, no goats, no horses, no dogs, no cats, no snakes, no, none of that. Okay, four legs, no. Another deal breaker, it's not a no, but it's an F no. There's no R. Kellying, meaning golden showers. Yeah, I'm going to need you to keep your bodily fluids, well, some of them, to yourself. And, those who are down with swinging, meaning, you know, multiple partners at parties and at your house, that's a no. And that is all.
Okay. But could you, Deidre, could you have the conversation with them about it? And could you talk openly about your reservations with them?
Here's the conversation. I'm not doing golden showers, animals, or extra people in our bedroom. End of conversation. All right.
That's not a conversation. That's not a conversation.
That is a conversation. I imparted some information towards you. Your ears were open. You heard what the heck I said. Communication effective.
Anywho, Jeff, do you feel like, you can effectively, do you think it's wise for people to have conversations about their wants, needs, desires, and fantasies?
Yes, I do.
And could you have a conversation about golden showers, swinging, and animals in the bedroom?
Yes, I could.
I thought it was golden rain. It's golden showers?
Yes, it's golden showers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So, again, people, we definitely want to hear from you guys. 760-683-2662. Okay. So we want to talk a little bit about learning, kind of learning what happens to you during the four stages of the sexual cycle. Does anybody know those four stages? Any of the people, any of my co-hosts, do you guys know the four cycles of the four stages of the sexual cycle?
Sexual cycle. I'm going to have to say I don't know where you're coming from, so I would love to listen.
Okay. Anybody else want to take a stab at it?
Is that a play on words, taking a stab at it? Is that a play on words?
You know what? Wow.
Deidre.
That wasn't good? That wasn't good?
Say that again. Say that again.
Do you know the four stages, or can you kind of tell the four stages of the sexual cycle?
The four stages of the sexual cycle. What is it? Well, don't you start with foreplay and no, I don't know. I can't think of it right now.
Well, you on what you do, that's kind of what you do in that stage. But the four stages of the sexual cycle is the excitement phase or the arousal phase. So you would do, essentially you would do foreplay in the excitement or the arousal phase. The next stage is the plateau phase, or that's the getting to the actual action, so that's the oral, whatever you do in your stage to help you build up to what's called the orgasmic phase is what you do in the plateau phase. And then the last one is the resolution phase, or the aftermath, or the end result after the orgasm, the coming down phase, the coming down after you come phase. So those are the four stages of the sexual cycle. And why is this important? This is probably what you're asking. Why is that important? A lot of times we do not have any idea what is going on with our partner in those four, during those four stages. We have no idea whether or not our partner actually has reached a certain stage. And so you have, like, you know, women, like Deidre said, foreplay. I've heard a lot of women say that men forget about foreplay. They forget that the woman's body have to be lubricated. I already know that there is different strokes for different folks. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny. But different strokes for different folks. So there are some women who just can instantly become lubricated without any foreplay. They get wet. They can do that. Boom. There's, you know, I'm sure that there are some guys that need foreplay to get excited, while others just think. And they ready to go. They set on go. But everyone goes through some form, or something happens in all four of those stages. And again, that's excitement, plateau, orgasmic, and resolution. So what I wanted to kind of talk about, get you guys to talk about, is like, what are some things that happen to you in those four phases, in the arousal stage? Like, what is going on for you? And just to help give you some points, some of the things that in the arousal stage, there's physical or mental erotic stimulation. A lot of times there's kissing, petting. The body is preparing physically and physiologically for sexual intercourse. With men, there's an erection. With women, there's vaginal secretion, or being wet. The erection of nipples, especially in females, and then what is called vasocongestion, or the sex flush, which is when there's an increased blood flow. So actually you get a glow in the arousal stage, and there's a glow that's coming because of all the blood that's actually flowing all over. what are some of the things that you believe happens to you during that arousal stage?
What are some of the what?
Some of the things that happens to you in the arousal stage.
I get aroused.
Okay. So some of the stuff that I talked about, like, is what gets you there? What gets you to the arousal stage? Like, is it physical stimulation or mental stimulation? Is it the kissing? Is it the petting? Is it viewing erotic images? Like for me, for example, what gets me there is actually, and it's funny, but seeing someone, like, actually dressing up, like, dressing really nice in a nice lingerie, or, you know, taking the time to spray on some perfume, or, you know, putting on a sexy earrings or something like that, like pinning their hair up, like, those things really get me excited. And then, of course, kissing and heavy petting, those things, of course, get me excited. But that's kind of what is happening in the arousal stage for me, or what gets me to that point.
I would have to say different things. I could be, thinking about something, and the arousal stage is present. I don't care where I am. I could be out shopping, at work, whatever. But a thought of something, definitely kissing. Kissing is huge, gigantic. And, again, that's, you know, just for me, not for everybody. And talking very dirty, you know. That seems to work pretty good. Again, Joey, why are you laughing? So, again.
That's why you said talking very dirty.
Whatever. Again, you know, there are a whole bunch of different ways, but those three stick out personally.
Okay.
I feel like I'm telling my business.
You're having a conversation.
Yeah, I hope not.
Deidre?
Run it by me again. I missed it.
So the arousal state, what kind of goes on? What gets you aroused, or what gets you in the mood, or and what kind of happens during that time?
Yeah, there's something that somebody can do, and it sends me to another level, but I can't share that with y'all. But it could, but I will say, honestly, a man in worship will get me going. And
a man in worship?
Yes. I know. Yeah. There's two different things, but I don't know. That's attractive to me. Or a very confident man. He could be talking trash and, yeah, that gets it for me. Sorry.
Nothing to apologize for. If that's what gets you, that's what gets you.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. The next phase is the plateau. Plateau phase, or that is the actual action. That's after all the foreplay and all the kissing, now it's time for things to get down. So what happens, the plateau phase is prior to orgasm, and what happens is an increased heart rate, your breathing rate increases, there's a rise of blood pressure, increase in sexual pleasure, pre-ejaculatory fluid, increases for men, lubrication increases for women, there's possible involuntary vocalization, or, you know, it's feeling so good that you really don't have any control of the sounds that are coming out of your mouth, because you just loving it, because there's an increase in sexual pleasure during the plateau phase, and then, which is this last point, which is kind of sad for a lot of people, it's the peak of the sexual cycle for those who never reach orgasm. So this is it for them. They just get that, they get in it, they're getting it in, but this is it. That's all they get. They don't ever reach that whole orgasmic phase. And again, a lot of people would never. There are people who won't ever tell their spouse that they never move on from the plateau phase. Like they got the build up, but they never get the explosion. And a lot of times it's because they don't communicate to their partner what they like or what, you know, what they're enjoying. And then, of course, the orgasmic phase, there's intense sexual pleasure, euphoric feelings, intense muscle contractions in the lower pelvic area, increased heart rate, your involuntary vocalization increases, there's vaginal contractions, and there's pleasure felt in the spine, penis and loins, and often accompanies ejaculation. So, again, here we go with the orgasmic phase. There are a lot of people who don't reach this phase, which is very, very sad. But again, it can, most times I would say issues with reaching the orgasmic stage, especially for women, is because you don't talk to your partner about what works for you. So just open up and talk about what goes on.
So it's our fault that we don't meet, that we don't reach the climax part of the whole sexual experience? If we don't communicate, so you're saying it is our fault if we don't communicate to the mate what it takes to get us to the climax level of sexual experience.
I don't look at things in terms of like blame, like who's at fault, who's not at fault. But what I will say is that if you're not talking about what you like or what you enjoy or this is how to get me there, then you have some responsibility. Everybody has responsibility. So it, what in the world? if you, this chat room is off the hook. Anyway, if you're not, you have a responsibility to talk about your wants and needs in the bedroom, and you have a responsibility to talk to your spouse, especially if they don't know or they haven't been willing to explore, to tell them this is what is going to bring me to orgasm. This is what's going to work for me. Because a lot of people come into it with the attitude is what worked for Jill is going to work for Janet. What worked for, you know, and for ladies, what worked for Bobby is going to work for Billy, and that's not always true. So, being willing to explore your partner's body is really important, but also being able to verbalize or vocalize what you enjoy in the bedroom will really help you not only flow through these stages effectively, but also will, you know, build up the amount of pleasure that you get from your partner because you communicated to them what you enjoy. And so as we, you know, and again, a lot of times I know this part seemed a lot more like a lecture, but it is important to understand what goes on in your body, like what goes on sexually for you. What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? And being able to talk about it. Again, I don't understand why people are so sexually reserved. And again, like I said, it's kind of based on society's standards, but also on a lot of moral, like a huge moral compass, what's right and what's wrong, and then people just being, you know, having guilt and shame about their own bodies. like being feeling guilty about even saying I like orgasms. Like, so they won't have them or they won't experience them because they are afraid or ashamed. When it's actually not, I mean, granted, in the religious world, you know, sex outside of marriage is wrong. We you know, so I'm not denying that or saying that that's not right or wrong, but I think that outside of that realm, that sex itself is not bad. And that's why it's important to be able to talk openly about what you like and what you enjoy and what's going to make you get all the pleasure out of your sexual encounter or your sex in your marriage. So you won't have a sexless marriage, or you won't have a marriage where one person is just pleased and the other person is just like, God, I can't wait for this is over so I can give me a drink.
Mm. Wow. Dang.
Yeah, you know, especially for me, I always, like, you know, one of the, we were discussing, like, the top 10 reasons for divorce. And, of course, finances was the number one. But was like, it was tied for third and fourth place was the couple being unhappy sexually. And I think, for me, that's just devastating. Like, if anything, I truly don't believe sex should be in the reason why people, you know, should even touch the top 10 reasons why people get a divorce. Because just from my perspective and where, you know, I want the direction of my life to go, is making sure that sex is not, I mean, is making sex a priority, but also making sure that my partner is pleased, I'm pleased, and we are, you know, finding new ways to please each other.
Finding new ways.
Definitely. Finding new ways. You got to find new ways. You got to add the spice to your relationship, especially in your marriage, especially if sex or not having good sex is going to lead you to divorce.
Wow. Sex would definitely lead me to divorce. Especially if I'm in a marriage where, let's say your husband gets sick. Let's say he gets diabetes. Perfect. He gets diabetes and no longer has the drive. That's understood because he's sick, whatever. But what becomes a problem is when he doesn't want to do anything about it. When he doesn't want to go to his doctor and say, I need some, you know, help. When he's too proud to, because sometimes you have a very rugged man who prides himself on that and doesn't want to admit that there's a problem. Or make up excuses to not be intimate with you by starting fights and making you mad at him so that you won't ask for, you know, sex. When you get to that problem, is that, you know, where he's not trying to do anything about it, then, yeah, I'm sorry. Personally, that would definitely be a visit for a divorce counselor or something, you know, because I think that is just completely unfair, especially after you've had an extremely active sexual relationship. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we kind of talked about what are some ways to get to the effective communication in the bedroom. So let's just let's kind of talk about how to set up the bedroom for pleasurable and amazing sex. What are some of your thoughts on, as you know, because we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, but let's talk about how we can make the bedroom a place for pleasurable sex. How do we set the atmosphere for the bedroom? Let's talk about that. What are some of you guys' thoughts on
get
naked. Okay, Deidre said get naked. What else?
Wow.
You want to set the atmosphere. When you get in this bedroom, it's going down. You already know. How do you set that up? How can we tell our listeners, especially, you know, our married listeners, how can we tell them to set that atmosphere for the bedroom?
When he walk in the door, just start taking off his clothes.
Hey.
What if he needs a shower?
Clean your day.
Do you take off his clothes and push them in the shower?
Yeah, but make it a sexy shower.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Man, when we get in the shower, I'm going to, you know, whatever you going, you know, make it sexy. Like for a man, you know, you set the, if you set in the atmosphere, but you know we both kind of stink, we both kind of foul, you know, and you don't want to tell your lady, look, I ain't trying to go down on you because you smell like a swamp down there, you know. You're not going to push it, like Tree said, take off her clothes and push her in the shower, but maybe you say, baby, I'm going to give you a personal massage in the bathroom with candle lights and rose petal in the tub. And as I clean you with soap with my hands, I'll clean it off with my mouth.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Come on. Hold up. Okay, it's not going to always be that pretty. It ain't going to always be the feeling great. It ain't
going to
always be the candle.
It's like a wet dream, Deidre.
It is going. I'm just saying. Come on, let's be real.
It's not going to be always that clean, cut, and dry. No.
Hey, come on, let's be honest. You done got off work. Okay, I'm going to y'all get some real life examples because I don't know a whole bunch of people that's coming home from work on a daily basis. And the flowers and the petals, and I'm going to wash you and lather you down. Look, you done got off work. You done been sexting me all the way since you got home. You going to open up that door, and I'm going to take it right there at the door while the neighbor's watching. While you been acting like you've been outside every day.
That's how you want to set your atmosphere.
Y'all,
or
but
that's
I'm
how,
just saying, y'all stop playing with these
wanna,
folks. Everybody ain't doing it all nice and pretty.
I want to. Why can't I wash you with my hands and then clean you with my mouth? Why can't I do that? What's wrong with that?
Well, you can do that too, but I'm just saying. All this smelling great. I mean, come on, let's just be real. We real people. We have
We should, but that's what I do. I don't do it every time, but that's one of the ways that, because again, I said setting the atmosphere. So,
sending him a little text.
Okay, exactly. Text messages.
Send him a little text saying, baby, you ain't got nothing
words
on.
But that's not setting the atmosphere. You said setting the atmosphere.
That is setting the atmosphere. Because I could have been tired. I could have had a bad day. And
that's
he sent me a text. Oh, come on.
The
atmosphere is going to be hype when I roll up in that joint.
That's setting the mood, not the atmosphere.
Hey.
Another good thing would be to, especially if you want, you know, you're setting it up for pleasurable sex, is to actually have a conversation or, like Deidre said, talk, get rough and dirty and rugged about what you want to do to them in the bedroom. talk about, you know, talk about what, like, if you know your woman likes you to lick chocolate off of her nipples, talk about that. Actually talk about it and, you know, or as Deidre said, send me a voicemail. Which, no, but I'm laughing because Deidre's just hilarious to me. But, you know, yeah, send a sexy voicemail. Call them beforehand. Tell them, don't answer your phone. I want to leave you a, I want to leave you a message. And I want you, you know, something like that. Or like, you know, Deidre, you're giving some good examples. Like when you know I'm in a meeting, call me and leave me a message. And yes, I said nipples.
I think knowing his favorite body part and making sure that's really, you know, visual and visible when he comes home, I think that's a good setting the atmosphere as well.
Some, I agree.
You know, men have different, you know, loves of the body. I think that would be a good way to instantly bring forth excitement.
Okay. Ah, Deidre, can you say this on the radio, please?
Hey, this is a talk show.
Can you give me good examples?
Tech show.
Huh?
This ain't amongst friends tech show.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Deidre said, send him a photo of a trail of clothes leading to the bedroom. What? Yeah.
He might think that you want him to do the laundry when he get home. You know how dudes are. Oh, we got all these candles lit, the electric bill off.
I can't stand y'all tonight. play, you know, have a good way to set the atmosphere for pleasurable sex in your bedroom is to actually have pleasurable sex in your bedroom. It's actually, yeah, just actually have all-out crazy sex, have all-out love-making sessions, have all-out swinging from the chandelier sex in your bedroom. No, sex shouldn't be limited to just the bedroom. And definitely, if you don't have kids, have go at it. Just go crazy all over the house. But if you want to have pleasurable sex in your bedroom, have pleasurable sex in there.
Okay, Joey, Deidre just said go over his house with nothing but a trench coat and some stilettos. Okay, the fear I have in that is being pulled over by the cops on the way to the house and the cop, you know, finding out that I don't have any clothes under the coat.
How is it? Okay, hold on. Seriously, what are you doing in your car that the cop is going to have you get out the car in the first place?
Yes,
okay.
You must be
okay.
Speeding and smoking some weed or something.
It could be on a humble. You know how cops are. They'll pull you over, think you got some cocaine or whatever, and frisk you. And hey, ma'am, it's 90 degrees, and you got on a trench coat. Merry Christmas. It's 90 degrees. You got on a trench coat. What's up with that? Well, I'm on my way over to my man's house, and I'm naked under here, you know. You know, I don't know. It could happen.
Well, the thing is about that, and actually, that is one of like a great one of my fantasies. But to have a woman, or have my woman, to dress in a trench coat and high heels. Anyway, I got lost for a second. A good way to do that is to actually be dressed when you drive to their house. And then when you get to their house, take off the clothes and put on the coat and the shoes. And then that way, if you get pulled over on a humble because you got cocaine in the car, then you will have clothes on when the police inspects you.
Okay, that's better. I can do that.
Lord. Like, really? Really? Where they do that at? What? That was, your imagination is amazing.
I know.
And also other things that you can do is adding different toys and things like that. And there are some men friendly toys out there, people. There are men friendly toys. You know, so you don't have to, all toys are not dildos or vibrators. So, you know, you don't have to be scared. Role playing, yes. Please tell me why.
Why does it suck?
Why does it suck?
Yeah, you just said role playing sucks.
Yeah, I can't get into it like that. It's just a very hard thing.
So you can't get into the, hey, honey, play the cabana boy, and I'll play the overworked, stressed out rich woman that comes to the islands. You can't get with that?
No. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that when I was younger. I didn't do that when I was younger. I didn't do it when I was 20. I didn't do it when I was 30. I'm not, it's whack to me. It's like, you be you, I'm be me. Let's go.
It's more conservative. It seems like he's a conservative guy.
No, I'm not a conservative guy.
Oh, Jeff is the person that said he wouldn't mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm not a conservative guy. My situation is that my role playing was actually done with multiple people. So I played my role, and then the Asian chick played her role. The white chick played her role. The black chick with the dreads played her role. The black chick with the jerry curl played her role. The twins over there played their role. So I'm not conservative. You can't put that on me. It's just that I can't do the role play thing. It's just too much craziness for me. So.
And all of it doesn't have to be like, let you be the pirate and I be the scared Catholic schoolgirl. You don't have to, I mean, you don't have to do it like that, but like, you know, Deidre was saying, go to a happy hour and you could pretend that y'all don't know each other and like you're actually picking up someone new. Or it doesn't have to be as extreme. Maybe it's just dressing up and that could be a part of role play. Or maybe, you know, your partner is going to be more dominant sexually. And you'll be more submissive. Like, it doesn't have to be, okay, here's the scenario. You are the fat, dirty, nasty, big girl. And I'm going to be a dirty old man for the night. Like, it doesn't have, role playing doesn't have to be that, like that. But it can be different, it's different ways to role play. What I'm trying to say, like, you know, it could just be simply you dress up, or it could be simply you pretend you don't. You guys are pretending you don't know each other, and you pick her up at a bar, or you know you're married to this person, but you want to spice it up, and so you guys rendezvous at a hotel rather than just going home and having sex. I mean, what you very well could do, you can even pretend like your house is a hotel, whatever works for you. So it doesn't have to be the whole, okay, you be the non-speaking damsel in distress and I'm going to be the superhero. Like, you don't have to do that unless you want to.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be, just say whack.
Nah, it doesn't have to be whack. I mean, but if that's not what Jeff wants to do, then, you know, then that ain't what he want to do.
Yeah, Joey, speak on that.
I mean, no, but that's kind of like what we talked about in the beginning, but I'm sure that you have had that conversation or, you know, that you guys have talked about what, you know, what kind of works for you and what doesn't in your bedroom. And for that, it's awesome if you are talking about it. Because that's kind of the point, especially with the show. We want you to walk away being able to, oh, I like that, Deidre. It's awesome. I wish people were in the chat room tonight. It's awesome, yes. So as we come up on the last few minutes of the show, guys, kind of just talk about what you can walk away or what you've walked away from. And next week's topic I also have, which is I'm in a sexless marriage or a sexless relationship. What do I do? So that's next week's topic. But kind of tell me, you guys, as we come to a close, what are some of the things that you've walked away with or you believe the people have walked away with tonight for listening as we close?
Well, I can honestly say that I believe they've walked away with put it on the flat and let the air out. Deidre, you know you ain't going to go outside and let the air out of your tire.
Deidre, I like the way you think, though.
I think that people walk away with the fact that, you know, not to be embarrassed about talking about your fantasies. And honestly, talking about it before you get into a permanent situation so that you won't find yourself stuck. And, you know, with a conservative dude or with a dude that thinks role play is whack, but yet and still he'll have a threesome or let his wife bring another dude in. That's whack,
mm-hmm.
You know, to be conservative when it comes to role playing, but not conservative when it comes to letting people in your bedroom. Yeah, Jeff is a Bama. So I think that people honestly did walk away with mostly those two things. I don't want to take up the time. Go ahead.
I think they should be able to walk away with it's not going to be pretty and perfect, and what works for you works for you. I mean, if you like it nasty, dirty, you like it clean and pretty, it works for you, but just be honest about it. Tell folks. And I think that's what they're going to walk away with.
Okay. Well, I hope everybody was honestly able to walk away with the idea that it's okay to effectively communicate about sex, that it's not dirty. You don't have to be ashamed of wanting to talk to your partner about sex and what pleases you and what do you want to do in your relationship. I want to thank everyone who listened. We're looking forward to people tuning in next week for I'm in a sexless marriage or sexless relationship. What do I do? I really look forward to that. We look forward to you guys calling in and leaving your questions and comments, joining in on our chat, which is on Facebook, or going to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends, and signing up and joining us there. We hope that you guys enjoyed the show, that you learned something about effectively communicating in your bedroom, and that you are working to set the atmosphere for pleasurable sex in your bedroom. It's a gift. Enjoy it. And whether it's clean or dirty, it doesn't matter. I just want you to have good sex. And everyone, if you're going to have sex, you should be enjoying it. So enjoy. Boom. All righty. And I don't, you know, I just hope that you guys continue to listen. Come on next week. I'm in a sexless marriage. I feel sorry for you. That's going to be my comment this week, is that I feel sorry for you if you're in a sexless marriage. Ooh, I feel sorry for you. I'm sad. I'm actually crying inside. I feel very, very, very sorry for you that if you are in a sexless marriage. But Patrice, you're going to give us some points on how to avoid being in a sexless marriage.
Yes, I am.
And Deidre, you should feel sorry for people. They can't be in a sexless marriage. That's sad.
No, because they in that relationship on their own, and they ain't having sex because they ain't having sex. So I don't feel sorry for you.
You don't have no empathy for them, though?
No,
maybe not.
Because you could be getting sex.
We talking about in their marriage, though, boo, not somewhere else.
Well, you could be getting sex. I mean, seriously?
You
not
mean
with
somebody
sex
else?
With me? No, I'm saying it's my husband, and he's not trying to give me no sex. Okay, so what is it that I need to do to get you to give me some sex? Because, yeah, either you're going to give me some sex, or I'm going to go and get some somewhere else. So,
wow.
So we arguing. We arguing, right? You want to win this one? All right, can we have sex now? That's what we need to do. You want to go hang out with your boys? That's the reason why you're not having sex with me? Okay, go hang out with your boys. Now give me some sex. In the morning. He lying there. I'm probably going to take it. It's mine. I'm just saying.
For you to take it, doesn't he have to be, like, ready?
Okay, I can get you ready.
men's minds seem to be detached from that a lot of times.
I mean, you know, you lying there and you done got your morning woody. Hey, I can go ahead and work that out. Go on and take care of it for you. Do a little horsing around or what have you.
Did you say horsing?
Yeah, I'm finna be, he finna be the pony and I'm finna ride it. The same.
Oh. Horsing.
Yeah, we're still kind of on the air. We're still recording. We still have a full minute. Okay, Joy, what's up?
What's up? Oh,
yeah.
You know what I didn't get to share, though, is effective, like, what are some ways to bring foreplay back into your sexual relationship? Do y'all think it's an absence of foreplay nowadays?
Yeah.
Uh-uh. No.
Yes. No? Who said no? Deidre?
I did, of course.
Okay. So you don't think there's an absence?
No.
I think a lot.
Well,
I think it's absent from a lot of people.
Yeah, I really do. One of the paradigms that you find is that a lot of people have made foreplay just like they've made romance a lost art. Like, so there aren't people that really aren't specializing in, like, you know, getting you excited about doing the booty or knocking boots. And so one of the things that that actually is kind of cool is body painting. That's a really good foreplay, is body painting, foreplay technique. And they also have, like, body paint that is edible. Yum. So I think that I actually think that's kind of cool. Messy, but you know, like Deidre said, all sex ain't clean and neat. So maybe, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. Blindfolding is another good way to, you know, bring foreplay back and definitely raise arousal. And blindfolding and taste testing, combining those two things is awesome because, you know, it's my belief that food and sex are actually, like, the same almost. That sounds weird, but, like, if you... I'll just leave that alone. But blindfolding, body painting, Deidre sending erotic text messages or pictures is a really good way of foreplay. Telling sexual stories.
Ooh, that's hot.
Now that is hot, actually. And Deidre was going hard today with the whole role play, and I was like, that's kind of cool. Actually letting out the air in the tire, like, that's cool. I think that's sexy.
I mean, you should do some creative things. I mean, stop playing.
Cool.
We can make it happen. What?
Jeff, that was me.
Wasn't it?
That was me.
But it's okay. But it's okay because all it says is that I know how to keep what's private private. That's all that means. Jeff, you a Bama. That's what I'm gonna end this show with. How about that?
Hey, I thought Treece and Jeff liked each other.
No, it's a facade.
Oh.
Okay, well.
Are we still on the air?
Yeah.
Cause we just like, and then like I just heard, I think somebody just drove through a tunnel or something. It was like a mighty Russian wind just now.
I just heard somebody cut their shower on.
Oh, they about to, somebody giving a golden shower?
No.
y'all are hilarious. All right, well, good night, everybody. One love. I'll see y'all next Wednesday. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Good night.
Night.